Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod here in Charlotte with Jeff Peterson, the new Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations of the Hornets, on his first official day on the job. Press conference this morning in Charlotte, was at the arena last night for the Hornets game. But you wake up in the morning now, Jeff, and your address has changed. Does it take a couple days to start to wake up and go, I'm not a Net, I'm a Hornet?
It's been an incredible 72 hours, quite frankly. A ton of people have reached out. As you said, I've changed the address. I have suitcases all over my hotel room. Like it's been a lot, but I'm so excited to be here. I can't tell you just the amount of energy and excitement with this fan base, the people here in Charlotte. So I'm really, really excited to continue to build.
You were reminded in the news conference today, in one of the questions, it is now the longest playoff drought in the NBA in Charlotte. And yet, this is a place that is still really, this is a great NBA market. Everybody knows how important basketball is in Carolina. And we all remember what it looked like here when they had it rolling in the Hive and LJ and Muggsy. And despite not a lot of success, you still feel it around this place. They're dying for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was apparent when I was at the game last night. And it's again, it goes back to the fans, how passionate, how loyal, how engaged they are. And it spreads throughout the Carolinas. It's not just, this amazing city of Charlotte. So I can't wait to ultimately help put something together that the fans are really going to be happy about and ultimately deserve.
35 years old, Jeff, in this job, started as an intern in Atlanta with the Hawks, and you went from intern to assistant GM in about 4 years, and then to Brooklyn as an assistant GM in 2019 in May, right before summer free agency. You showed up, and then KD showed up, Kyrie showed up, and the world changed for the Nets. Would you have imagined that getting to run your own organization could come this fast?
Adrian, it's something that it was never a goal of mine, quite frankly. I just kind of took the approach of put my head down, do my job, put the work in to help the team that I was on that day, do whatever I could. So I think sometimes, when you try to look too far out in advance, you quite frankly, you miss out on the present, and you learn things in real time. I'm incredibly aware that it did happen fast, and I'm thankful because, I wouldn't be sitting in the seat. There's been so many people throughout my career, professionally, personally, who have helped me in terms of just development and challenging and preparation. So I wouldn't be sitting here for a ton of people, and I'm very thankful for that.
Have you returned from the moment it was reported that you were getting the job and the text messages and calls start coming? Have you even opened all of them? There's no way you could have returned them all yet.
I have a little OCD when that red dot is sitting on the message app. It gets to me. So yeah. It's a testimony. I think I had 300 text messages since you broke the tweet on that first day alone. And that ranged from players to staff to family members, friends. So, yes, I did open up every message and I returned them all.
A few people who knew you, who I didn't even know you had relationships with going back to high school at DeMatha in D.C., different places, who were taking a lot of pride in your rise. And is it interesting to see, or maybe gratifying to see, how many people who have been part of your journey feel a little part of them get this opportunity with you? Do you feel that from people?
For sure. And I'm happy that they feel that way because, quite frankly, they played a huge part of my success. I can't tell you how many people have helped me just in whatever way it may be. So I'm happy that they feel that this is a part of them. They're winning in this as well, because they are. Each and every experience I've had in my life, whether it's, again, professionally, personally, I've been able to take little pieces of it and ultimately has helped develop me into who I am today.
Your relationship with Rick Schnall goes back. There are some examples, but typically a new owner and a new head of basketball operations. Sometimes they're just getting to know each other for the first time in the interview process, and there isn't a lot of history. You knew Rick Schnall. He was a minority owner in Atlanta. So you start as an intern. You move up in that front office, and he obviously, along with Gabe Plotkin, by the Hornets last August from Michael Jordan. You and he have kept in pretty consistent contact through the years. You ended up in New York. Rick lives in New York.
Yeah.
Like, the relationship has continued.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something I'm thankful for. You know, early on in Atlanta, I could tell that Rick was, we share some of the same values and just personality traits. He's uber competitive. He has a drive about him. He has a curiosity about him. And, you know, aside from basketball, it was just someone who I wanted to continue to learn from, quite frankly. You know, I know he had been successful in the business world, so I would ask him questions about finance and things like that. And his wife, Susie, has been amazing. And, you know, they've just, that entire family has welcomed me and helped me out, especially when I did move to New York. Whether it was having me over for dinner or going to golf or, you know, whatever it may be. So I'm very thankful and just grateful that, you know, we were able to stay in touch and continue to cultivate that relationship. And it's stronger than ever. And I know that it's going to continue to you know, be a benefit going forward.
Should that make it easier on some level when you know how another person thinks, how they react, how they what they value, and you kind of known it over a period of time? When you get thrust into a situation here where you're making every day in this job now, Jeff, there are some decisions really big and a lot of them really small, but they all add up, that relationship is there and an understanding of how maybe each of you operate.
Absolutely. I think just knowing how, quite frankly, Rick and Gabe now, getting to know Gabe throughout this process has been amazing as well. So just knowing how they think, how they see things is going to be extremely helpful. You know, I love the fact that we're not always going to agree, but we can have these challenging conversations and, you know, have a different opinion, and no one's going to take it personal. We all want the exact same thing, you know, at the end of the day. So I have no doubt that we'll be able to, you know, arrive to those decisions as we continue to have this, you know, relationship and dialogue built out.
When you take over, and I know you went in and talked to the team last night and you said, hey, 21 games left. Like, we're evaluating and we expect to go out, compete, win. We're not tanking here. We're trying to win games. We're trying to create some habits. When you take over, is it just starting to add up in your mind of there's so many areas that need your attention? Prioritizing. How do you decide, what do I prioritize here? The first day, the first week, the first month? Is that what you're going through now?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I wake up every morning now and it's sometimes it's still a bit surreal and I have to shift that lens. Like, wait, no, these are the things that I have to get accomplished today. And therefore, maybe some other things are kind of put on the back burner. But, you know, Adrian, I think it helps from the standpoint of, you know, understanding the importance of having a staff around you that can help execute that vision. And, you know, some of it may be decision making, some of it may be just simply day-to-day tasks. But for me, I'm very excited to build out a staff to help me with those things, because I'm not smart enough or good enough to do it by myself.
LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, some of the young pieces, Miles Bridges. Listen, I think the organization and ownership, you saw at the trade deadline, traded out some veteran players, got some assets back. You got picks back. You got a couple of young players you can take a look at here in the next few weeks. Does it feel like you're in the beginning of a rebuild? You're midway through? Because you do have some pieces that are young players who, you know, one's a max player in LaMelo. One is Brandon Miller, the second pick in the draft, who looks like he's going to be every bit the player people hoped he would be. This is a future all-star. Does it feel like you're not at ground zero of a rebuild, but you're, this is a sort of a cycle back here where this team's probably going to get younger and leaner and start to build around that age bracket?
Yeah, and I'm very excited about that young core there, because I think we have some incredible talented pieces that we can build around. You know, you touched on it earlier, just winning's hard in the NBA, really, really hard. And I think it starts with habits. You know, that's what it comes down to. So that's why I wanted to address the entire group yesterday about, look, we can use these 21 games to get better individually and collectively. But yeah, I'm very excited about that young group. Again, I would never put a ceiling on any of the players, quite frankly. But Brandon, sky's the limit, of course. LaMelo's still very young. I know he's going to continue to get better. Of course, I think Miles can continue to get better. Mark Williams. So I'm really excited to see how they finish this last stretch of the season, and then see how we can merge that into the summer.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jeff, when you look at your time in Brooklyn, you got there sort of at the end of, you know, Sean Marks had taken over a really difficult situation, had gathered up assets, had developed some young players, you know, both picks and, you know, players who kind of became reclamation projects in Brooklyn that kind of paved the way then to be able to go into free agency and sign Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and then obviously trade for James Harden. A lot happened in that window of time in Brooklyn. What do you learn about, you know, this is a job of, very often can be a job of handling crises and handling difficult situations. What did you learn in Brooklyn that you think helps you running your own team?
Yeah, I'd be remiss. I have to say Sean did an amazing job, and that entire staff. Sean won't just take credit, but it's that entire staff of building that into the organization it is today, and to be able to attract those guys, like you said. But you know, I learned a few things. One, you know, first and foremost, that it truly takes an entire organization to be on the same page, to be aligned in order to achieve that ultimate goal. So, you know, that's from ownership to front office, coaching staff, and performance. And I'm excited because I know that's what we'll create here. So having that alignment, you know, being, even though we didn't ultimately win a championship with that crew, and which of course that was the goal, I think it's still a blessing to be able to see, you know, start with Kev, who I'm fortunate I've known forever, just from being able to, you know, compete with him in high school, but just his work ethic, his approach every day, and same with James and same with Kyrie. But there's a reason that they're special players, just because of the work that they put in. So if they can put that work in and be as elite, I think that's something that every young player that I'll hopefully be able to share some stories with, you know, with our roster now, of just their approach, how they attacked every day with that level of intensity and engagement.
How often did you play against or with Kevin in the D.C. area?
We played on the same AAU team, so the D.C. Blue Devils at first, and then I ended up going to Triple Threat, and he ended up going to the NBA. So. But no, Kev's been amazing. You know, we early on, we didn't really stay much in touch, just in, you know, when we saw each other. But of course, it was a privilege to be able to, again, go to work with him every day for that stretch in Brooklyn, to be reunited with him. But of course, you knew back then that he was going to be a special, special player. The physical makeup, of course, was great, but it was just his drive, his motivation. You know, when we talk about the love for the game, that's him.
Your playing career is interesting. You played at a very high level. You played at Iowa, Arkansas, Florida State. You invented the portal, right? Jeff Peterson invented the transfer portal. How did you end up at three different schools?
Yeah,
in three different leagues, three different high profile high majors.
I asked myself that a lot, actually, Adrian. I think it was one of those things where, look, Iowa certainly didn't have the level of success that I envisioned when going there, and just kind of the fit, and was able to turn that to Arkansas, and I had to sit out a year because of NCAA rules, and didn't have success there either. So, you know, there at the end, it was, I wanted to make the NCAA tournament. That was just my dream as a kid. So I knew that at the time, Mike Anderson was coming in, and he would do a nice job with the group. I just didn't think I had enough time, quite frankly, just being a little bit selfish. So I elected to transfer and play my last year at Florida State, and was extremely thankful for that situation, because we did win the ACC championship. We did get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I remember.
Beecher Bonnie.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
Andrew Nicholson banged a few threes, but we were able to.
You were a very fortunate team that day in Nashville.
Exactly. Able to get it done. So, you know, look, it certainly wasn't the conventional path, but I think it's ironic because it's helped me so much in my job today.
Leonard Hamilton getting to play 1 year for him. It was funny. I was watching some of the Florida State game. I think it was last night, and my friend Tom Crean was doing the game, and he was talking about Leonard and how taking 2- and 3-star guys and turning them into first round picks. And was he one of the first people who raised the idea of you working in the NBA or pursuing a career working in the NBA?
He was. He did it a nice way. Instead of just telling me I wasn't good enough, he just said, you should come coach with him or get into coaching. And, you know, I didn't really want to do that at the time. And then, you know, the internship opened up in Atlanta, and he said, look, just why don't you go do this for a year? And then if you don't like it, you can try to go play overseas or something after that. So he was one of the first people that raised it. And he was one of the first people who called me when the news came out. And, you know, I'm so fortunate to, even though it was 1 year, to be able to experience that with him, just because he's so much more than a coach. He's a mentor, father figure to a lot of people. His perspective, he's been through a ton of experiences through life and basketball. And sometimes he'll call and it's not even to talk basketball. It's, you need to read this book. I'm sending you this book. You got to read it. So just getting different, different perspectives from him has been extremely invaluable.
Jeff, when you think about, when you prepare to become president of an NBA team, what is the one or two things in your mind, you know, this job really requires this? If I had to tell you what the most important thing in this job is, it's what?
I would say staffing. Again, you'll hear me say it time and time again, I'm not smart enough or good enough to do it by myself. So surrounding myself with the right staff. And then ultimately, I think just discipline. There is obviously so many hours in the day, and it's already hitting me. You know, you really have to pay attention to how you allocate your time and attention. And you know, quite frankly, just you got to do a better job of saying no to things. And that may be to people, people's time, whatever it may be, because, you know, this is the priority right now. And so, yeah.
It's probably a very different blueprint in Charlotte than it is in Brooklyn, where in Brooklyn you can clear max cap space and you're in a major metropolitan area and you can go get all NBA level players. History would say that is not really how you build it necessarily in Charlotte. It's drafting well. It's making good trades, developing your guys. When you look at the new collective bargaining agreement and how that is going to impact team building, it's a much better day for the Charlottes and the Indianas of the world, right? Like Pascal Siakam ends up in Indiana because maybe there was a time where Brooklyn or Golden State or the Clippers could add that fourth, if the owner didn't care about luxury tax, could add that third star or the fourth star. And the league wanted to spread these guys out around the league. And it certainly seems like it's already happening. But when you think about team building in Charlotte, you imagine this new CBA, the new cap, gives you a better chance to be able to not just attract high-level players, but then keep them.
Right? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited because I think, one, I have all the confidence in the world that we'll be able to continue to draft well. But, yeah, when it gets to free agency and quite frankly, trades, just being able to retain our talent, you know, I think, you know, more and more because of the rules, I don't know how many guys will actually get to free agency now.
Right.
So I think, you know, we'll build it the right way. We won't skip steps, but I'm excited for our market. You know, I think in time, as we continue to build it step at a time, we'll get free agents to want to come here.
When you say, you hear front offices say this a lot, we're not going to skip steps. What does that mean? Like, in your mind, skipping steps would be what?
You know, I think sometimes we lose sight because we're emotional and we're fans as well. And sometimes you get a little bit of success and you think that you can skip a step to put your team in a better position in the short term and ultimately sacrifice what's coming in the long term. So you got to keep that North Star. You got to know exactly what you're setting out to do in terms of your ultimate goal. And then anything between that, that can't jeopardize that long-term goal. Which for us is going to be sustainable success. You know, I know there is the playoff drought. We don't want to make the playoffs next year and then have another drought for 5, 6, 10, you know, 10 years, whatever it may be. We want to consistently be a winner and, again, a franchise that people are proud of to be associated with. So, again, I think it ultimately it's just a reminder that we can't sacrifice the long term for, you know, making a move in the short term.
Steve Clifford, your head coach, you got to know him in Brooklyn. He was a consultant for a year with Steve Nash. What did you learn about Cliff then as an NBA coach, and how do you imagine with this group now, how do you imagine you guys work together here now?
I learned just he's not as mean as he looks on TV. No, in all seriousness, he is – I'm very thankful for that experience. And even though it was 1 year at the time, just the amount of stories he has, experiences he has, spent a lot of time with him off the court, just in on the golf course or dinners, whatever it may be, going for walks, things like that. And he, his perspective just on life in general, he helped me with some personal stuff, like just being able to lean on him for advice in a lot of different spaces. At the same time, he's one of the most detailed people I know. He's prepared even though he was a consultant, he might as well have been on staff because he was every day bringing up ideas, but he did it in a way that he wasn't invasive on Steve Nash at the time and the rest of that staff. So he gave them their space, but at the same time, he would continue to try to push and challenge at the right time. So I'm very thankful for that experience with him.
Jeff, you come into an organization, like there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of missed games. You know, this was a team, I think, at the beginning of last year that thought, you know, this could be a playoff team. And then the Miles Bridges incident happens and he's out for the season. And this year, Lonzo is sidelined for a very long time. There can be an organization can get beaten down and start to accept missed games, accept losing. Is that as much as anything when you come in to try to identify that environment? And if that's going on and say, how do we change how everybody approaches coming to work at this place?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think, you know, sometimes looking on the outside in, you know, you're speculating on things. So I'm fortunate that I do have this, you know, this final stretch of the season to evaluate. And exactly right. You know, losing is not going to be tolerated here. Will we lose some games? Of course. But it's showing up every day, your approach, you know, your work rate, your work ethic, and having that goal in mind that, look, we're going to show up every day. We're going to leave it all on the floor. We're going to create these habits and standards that we're all going to live up to. And I'm excited to do that because ultimately you're going to see who really wants to rise to the occasion and meet those expectations.
when you start to put together, Jeff, a staff and people you want to work for you, and you hire them at all different levels. You hire them in the front office. You hire them in analytics, health, all those places. What are the common denominators, do you think, you say, these are the kind of people I want to have here?
Look, honestly, it's a big reason why I took the job, because there was alignment with Rick and Gabe when we talked about this, and character is so important. Look, they've been successful in their own businesses, and I think they see that regardless of what industry you are in, you need to have good people around you, high quality, high character. So, I think people who, again, who are ultra competitive, who are workers, who are curious, open-minded, people who have a level of accountability, and people who are trustworthy. I think some of those are the key ingredients that I think will continue to help build our staff. And I think it's important what you said. It's not just the front office. That's the coaching staff. That's the performance department. That's the players. I think that, those traits can be embodied throughout the organization.
And now you come in, there's all these upgrades going on, the arena, the practice facility. You guys will kind of be displaced for a bit, right? It'll be a little different.
Yep.
Maybe even over state lines.
Yep. Perhaps, yep. Right? Absolutely. And again, I lived through this in Atlanta. When State Farm was going through the remodel, we did our draft in the Omni Hotel, and we were kind of not in familiar territory. But again, I'll keep going back to this. To me, this is why staffing and the people that you surround yourself, is so important, because at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter exactly what it looks like or things like that. We're here to get a job done, and we will, and we're going to have a ton of fun doing it.
Your parents were here today.
Mm.
They came in.
Yep.
What was that like?
Just amazing, Adrian. Again, the amount of sacrifice that they made for me growing up, to this day, they still make sacrifices. So I just literally and figuratively would not be here for them. And they have just instilled just the values and how you treat people. Doesn't matter, the differences that you have, and you never know what someone's going through. Just always be kind, be polite. And that, they were spot on from an early age. And I was able to carry those teachings throughout my life today.
Jeff Peterson, the new executive vice president of basketball operations in Charlotte. Now your sleepless nights now are the Hornets' sleepless nights, not in Brooklyn anymore. Jeff, congratulations. Fun to be here today and see you roll all this out. And I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adrian, for having me on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to my guest today, Jeff Peterson, the new executive VP of basketball operations with the Charlotte Hornets. Be sure to also listen to the Adam Schefter podcast with my good friend Adam Schefter. We'll catch you next time.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.